0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we begin to move on from the international break. Brendan Rodgers is banned by the Scottish FA for his referee comments, but will be back in the dugout for the trip to Ibrox. Aberdeen say it's unlikely they'll have a new manager in time for the weekend, and Shea Adams is confident Scotland will be ready in June after a disappointing couple of games. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, I think we're all looking forward to getting back to domestic football. It's been a fairly disappointing 10 days for Scotland, and it's quite unusual to say that now because we're getting used to our national team being quite good, but it's been quite poor, so we can put that behind us and move on and look forward to the next friendlies. But we have domestic action this week with some fantastic games, and of course the big story of today, which I'm sure we'll be discussing, is Brendan Rodgers getting a one game ban with one game suspended.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the weekend. I think there's some terrific fixtures, not just in the Premiership, but if you get into the Championship, you've got first v second, a real important game as well. You've got third v fourth in the Premiership. You've got Aberdeen against Ross County. That's an important game as well. So, and obviously the Brendan Rodgers situation. So, a lot to get through.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need, so come on down. What are you making of the transition back to domestic football? If you've still got lingering thoughts, leftover opinions from the international break, I'm happy to hear them. We'll hear from Shea Adams a bit later on in the show, but clearly we've got some big news on the domestic front today, and it is that Brendan Rodgers has been banned by the Scottish FA, but he will be back in the dugout for the game against Rangers. He will miss the Livingston game. It's a two game suspension, but one of those games is a suspended ban there as well, so that would only kick in later if he was to commit a similar breach in the future. So one ban immediate, and a one game ban suspended. And I am absolutely certain, if I know this show like I think I do, there will be a whole wide range of opinions on that, including some that I've definitely not even thought of. So 0141 951 1025, all your reaction to that. Celtic fans, what do you make of it? Is it a big relief? That, how much of a difference do you think it makes, incidentally, to have a manager on the touchline or not? Did you fear it would be worse? We had Celtic fans on, or one certainly during the week, almost thinking that Celtic were going to go and charge into the hearing and blow everything apart, and he wouldn't get any ban. So it's somewhere in the middle, perhaps, and I wonder how you feel about it. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now if you can, and Twitter at Clyde SSB. It is going to be good, though, to get that domestic football back, isn't it?
Yeah, and as Mark and I both touched on, Gordon, there's a lot of and very important games, not just at the top for the top six. Obviously, the relegation battle is heating up as well. A lot of clubs down there really panicking just now. They need a run of victories just to keep them away from that danger spot. Again, to the Championship, which is brilliant. Dundee United against Raith. There'll be some crowd at Tannadice. And then you look at the big two. Rangers go first against Hibs. Come in at a bit of form, you've got to say, but going to Ibrox. And then people used to say that Livy was a difficult place to go to. I don't see that anymore. I think Livy know their destiny. I think they're going to be in the Championship. I think Celtic going along there. I think Rangers will win at the weekend. That gives them the extra edge to go and get the 3 points, which I think they will do. And I think they'll do it comfortably. But Brendan Rodgers will need to take a seat in the director's box and watch on.
I mean, this is it, Mark Wilson. I think because we decide it's on our terms. It's a term that's thrown around loosely. I think this is official. I think this is the business end of the season, yeah, as the cliche goes. That's your final international break done. The home straight is there. You're either going to have a successful season or not, and a lot of it will be decided from here on in.
Well, you know what, to pair it up to the kids who are finishing school this week for the Easter holidays, when they go back,
exactly,
it's the final term, it's exam time, it's huge pressure, it's where a lot of things are decided. It's the exact same for the Premiership. This is the running, this is where the hard work really begins, because I know, you know, come the winter months and through Christmas and New Year, teams have to dig in. Then they get their wee break, so they get their chance to recharge. And then it's been similar in this past 10 days. Those who have not been away in international duty have an opportunity to recharge. But this is the final running, the final seven games where you need to get over the line, and a couple of big games within that. So every point is a prisoner, and you know, the less you drop, the better position you're in, of course.
Are you excited? Can you contain your excitement about the run-in?
Oh, I'm excited. I think there's a lot.
I can see that in your eyes.
Honestly, I've not been sleeping. But I just look at the fixtures.
It's entirely different reasons, I suspect.
Yeah, anyway. Exactly. I look at the fixtures coming up, Gordon, and, you know, especially this weekend for it. Right, we'll go to the top two first, because I think that's where the most interest is. Rangers and Celtic going into next week, and I don't want to jump too much forward, but they've got to go and get results. I think Rangers, Hibs at Ibrox, I think they will do that, although Hibs will be a difficult opponent. Livingston, I keep saying it, it used to be the old cliche, oh, difficult place to go. Question marks, will Cameron Carter-Vickers play through there with the surface or whatever? But I still think Celtic will have enough, and that takes us into the following week. You then look at down the bottom, Aberdeen, good result before international break. Ross County, terrific result before the international break against Hearts. They play each other at Pittodrie. Aberdeen still searching for that manager. And I will always look at the Championship. I think Dundee United against Raith Rovers, this could be maybe even a title decider this week, because if you can get the edge in that Championship and the run-in, you've got a great chance of automatically getting up.
Yes, big games everywhere you look this weekend, and breaking news today as well. Brendan Rodgers hit with a two-match ban. One of those is suspended, though, so he'll miss out on Celtic against Livingston, but back for the game against Rangers. Gary is a Celtic fan in Govan. What did you make of that news today, Gary?
Slightly hypocritical of the SFA, but it seems the Ranger manager can say what he likes and nothing gets done about it. But that's just the way it is.
What do you mean? What was comparable? What do you mean?
Well, when the Rangers manager was criticising referees, nothing got done.
Oh no, you're allowed to criticise them, aren't you? It's just that rule. It's, what is it, 72 or something? You're not allowed to criticise them in such a way that indicates bias or incompetence, isn't it? It's like managers almost need to.
So his wasn't biased or incompetence. A reference to the referee being wrong. That's wrong is wrong.
I get Mark. I do get this from fans, to be fair, because I don't really. When I just watched football innocently, I don't really care about the difference in the words and some of its semantics. But ultimately, if there's a rule in there that states you can't indicate bias or incompetence, and you say the word incompetence,
yeah, it's pretty clear.
You're probably going to get a ban. Now, then the length of the ban comes into debate, and that's what's happened today. Managers are Gary might not agree or think it's hypocritical. Managers are allowed to come out after a game and say, I think the ref got that wrong, or I'm disappointed in that decision, or I think things went against us. There's just a line that is, in the eyes of the Scottish FA, they've drawn, and the use of the word incompetence is across the
board. I think that's it. As basic and simple as that. I think Brendan Rodgers, when he came out, it was an incredibly hard interview to do. Right after the game, where emotions are high, and I do feel for managers in that situation, because of course they want to put across to their fan base what they think of the game, but they've got to know the line is very thin that they tread on. So he overstepped the mark in terms of some of the language he used, but for me, I think his point was correct. He just was, you know,
it's just like,
just
as you
used
said,
their own words.
It's almost so obvious, Gordon, but it's just the words in the rule, and he used the word, and it's not a huge ban. Everybody's going to have, like I say, there'll be various opinions on this. It became a bigger deal because there was the potential to miss a Rangers game. Let's be honest about that. If Celtic's next two fixtures were Livy and St Johnson, I think the discussion around it would have been different. What did you make of it?
I think it was just the wrong choice of words. And I think Brendan Rodgers, looking back, and I said on Tuesday night that throughout his career, I've watched Brendan Rodgers many a time, and he usually handles the press and his interviews very, very well after a game, no matter if he's won, lost or drawn. The choice of words wasn't correct. He got obviously charged with it. I think Celtic fans would be quite happy with the outcome. I'm sure some Rangers fans might not be. Because we will get tit for tat. We'll see, like say Gary coming on tonight. Well, Rangers managers allowed to say it's a choice of words, and obviously Brendan Rodgers overstepped that mark. Now he's come up before the SFA with that charge, and he's got one game back. Well, two game ban, one game suspended, and that happens to be against Rangers, which obviously makes it a bit more interesting for everyone here.
Gary, how much did it matter? In terms of the impact on a football game, like, do you see this as a victory, I suppose, is what I'm asking? The fact that Brendan Rodgers is available for a Rangers game when you thought he wouldn't be, is that some sort of victory, or how do you view
it? It's definitely a victory, just like the game at Ibrox is going to be a victory. He doesn't lose against Rangers, basically. So 17 out of 18 is not bad.
Yeah, well, he's certainly got a good record against. I don't think anyone would doubt that. How much difference do you think it makes, Mark? I suspect it's a totally personal thing. I think like Kenny and Marvin and Simon in the last few days said, you know, despite all this sort of drama surrounding it, they don't actually think it would have impacted the result as such if Brendan Rodgers hadn't been there. Were you a bit different? How do you view that?
Yeah, I guess it's a personal thing. I would have viewed it different. I heard Simon saying last night, but I've viewed it different. I always like to see my manager there. I always like to see the figurehead on the touchline. Now, that might be down to the position I played. Maybe I was in close proximity, one of the halves to him. I also think you can get your message across quicker. Now, I get technology nowadays. You can sit in the stand, it can be passed down, then it can be relayed, then the coach will go on and pass it on. But I don't think you can get a substitute for you being the leader in your own head, getting a tactical switch across instantly and taking that responsibility on. So I think that's got value as well. And just the occasion, the big games, the big ones, I think you want your leader there as much as you would want your captain there, as much as Celtic would rather Callum McGregor there than whoever's going to captain the team in a couple of weeks' time. I think it's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, Mark mentioned it, the big ones. I'm not detecting any or much consideration about the fact Brendan Rodgers will be banned for the game against Livingston. But it's never been about that really, has it? That's what we do here, which is fine. I'm not saying that as like a criticism. We know that the size of that fixture, the importance this is going to have potentially on the rest of the season, the intensity of the rivalry, it's always really been about that, hasn't it?
Yeah, I take on board what Mark says, and it's very hard to argue the fact that, yeah, of course you want your manager there. But if you look at this weekend, if Livy had to, for some reason, beat Celtic, I don't think they're going to look and say, well, the reason the Celtic lost was because Brendan Rodgers was sitting in the stand. Mark then touches on, well, the big games, of course, none bigger than coming up at Ibrox. Brendan Rodgers, of course, I think if you had your choice, you would prefer him to be on the touchline, because Mark's right, there's times when the manager will see or a coach will see something very quickly and he'll want it done in an instant. And if he's at the edge of the touchline, he can get that information on quicker. But as you quite rightly says, Gordon, against Livy, it's not going to count. But
you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed even in a professional game and at top teams, almost like when the substitute teacher's in, that some people just won't have the same reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not for
yeah.
that fixture though, surely. They're not.
Well, you would hope,
takes
you would
care
hope
of
not,
itself, they
but
always say.
Just that kind of switching.
So you
off
think Livy have got a chance of beating Celtic at the weekend?
No, because Livy's small enough, you can just shout on from
because see, if I was him, I wouldn't even sit down at Livy. I would just stand up and block the person behind me and just shout instructions.
Anyway, thanks to Gary. He thinks it's a bit hypocritical, but he's taking it on the chin. Davey is on the line. What do you think of this news today, Davey?
How we doing, boys?
Good, how are you?
Oh, ship shape and shiny now.
I'm glad I didn't try that one.
Right now, well done, right? Strap yourselves in, boys, right? Embrace yourselves because we are about to go crazy in Scottish football because we have got a title race on. It's neck and neck. And, yeah, the first hurdle was today with Brendan Rodgers, and I'd like to say before I say anything else that I did not think Brendan Rodgers missing the Rangers game is going to have any impact on Celtic or the outcome, right? But everybody's jumping on it and making a big thing of it. But in reality, Brendan doesn't go in the park and play, and he'll work on his players all week. So I didn't really see the big fuss with him being there or no being there, I think the outcome, whatever the outcome will be, would still be the same, right? However, however, Brendan Rodgers broke the rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if it had been any other team outside Old Firm, he'd have got a two-game ban. If it had been any other two games that didn't have a Old Firm game in it, he'd have got a two-game ban. And the thing that I can't understand, because in my opinion, the SFA have bottled it. I can't say what I actually want to say because I'm on the radio, but they've bottled it. Because I can't get my head around, right? They took some top hotshot lawyer, right, Nick DeMarco, to this thing, and I'm like, wait a minute. Right? It's not as if they're going to court, right? And there's going to be cross-examinations. It's an FA hearing. And the rules are in the book, and they've been there since before a ball was kicked this season. And he broke them. So,
but that's why he got a ban, though, isn't it? I mean, like, it is a bit like a legal situation, though, isn't it? Like, teams do take lawyers in these scenarios. It's all about, you know, judicial protocol and try to argue your case and maybe even mentioning precedent, because you say, you know, if it had been any other team, they would have got a two-game ban. But there have been examples of managers breaching this rule that Brendan Rodgers breached and getting the exact same sentence that he got today. So should we be that surprised?
No, maybe not. But the whole Nick DeMarco thing, I think that was more ceremonial than anything else. And I think the SFA, it's almost like a draw. And I'll explain what I mean by that, right? If Celtic, if he'd got banned for two games, there would be no Rangers fans on your show tonight, because it'd be filled with Celtic fans calling it a conspiracy, trying to help Rangers win the league because they're going bust and all the other stuff you get. And if he hadn't got banned, the Rangers fans would be going crazy calling it. So they've kind of went in the middle, right? Because they've banned them for a game against Livingston and they've suspended it. And it just, to me, it just doesn't add up for me. It's just my opinion. I could be wrong. But like I said earlier, I really didn't think it's going to affect the Old Firm or the title race one iota.
I see what Davey means in terms of that in the middle. We've spoken about it. You say incompetence, you're not allowed to even infer incompetence, you're going to get a punishment. I didn't really ever truly foresee a situation where, you know, there was no ban whatsoever. But it was the, obviously you can't get any less than one game.
Yeah.
And the big headline, the big drama has been avoided, missing the Rangers game. Now that might just be completely unfair of Davey and completely unfair of everybody else, but you can almost hear people saying it in the last few days. Okay, we'll get one game and they'll be back. What that means, I don't really know, because as I said to Davey, some managers have broken that charge and got two games or more, I think. But some managers have broken it and got this exact same. So it's not like he's not the first ever manager to get a one game ban and one game suspended. But loads of people are going to act like he is.
Well, I take it, is it taken into consideration previous, if he's got any previous record of this? Because Brendan Rodgers,
no, I think
usually
only like currently. Wait, if he had because as an example, he's now got that one game ban suspended, so he will get another ban if he was to do anything else again this season, sort of thing.
Yeah, or what it was meaning, if he was a serial offender at this throughout the years, would that have just been an automatic two-game ban or more?
Possibly.
But Brendan Rodgers, I think what I've heard him this first time year and this time year, generally never causes much.
And I know Davey laughed at the Nick DeMarco bit, and I saw him referred to, what was it, as the Lionel Messi of the sports legal work, something like that, which was excellent. It is a bit like that. Ultimately, that you go into that hearing, you might be able to put up such a case that you get your one game and your one game suspended. Another team might go in and their case just isn't quite as convincing and you get two games.
How good your lawyer is as well.
Pretty much. You've been there.
I've been up in front of SFA with this as a manager as well, but long time ago. Look, I do think that the SFA have sat in the fence a little bit, right? I think it works out perfect for everybody. And the reason I'm going to say, I'm quite happy that Brendan Rodgers is in the dugout for the game. This is the first time in a long while that Scottish football's exciting. Gone. We've got a title race here. Two teams going head to head for it. I would rather much Brendan Rodgers be in that dugout. Now, if Celtic go and win next week and go and win the title, fair dues. Congratulations. If Rangers go and do it, then they can't come back. Celtic fans can't come back and say, well, You know, they tried everything because they put our manager in the stand. I'm happy with the way that it's turned out.
But see this.
But I still believe that the SFA and Brendan Rodgers walked in there with a top class lawyer, and look, the guy obviously knows what he's doing, and it's worked out well for him.
But what is that based on, though? Like I said, are we all just dominated because of the narrative that was set because it's Rangers? So when I know there was a couple of, Craig Levein got a one game ban for this with one suspended. I think Gary Caldwell the same, round about 3 or 4 years ago. There was no option for anyone on those occasions to say, ah, they've sat in the fence, because nobody cared, because nobody cared about what the next fixture was. This was always going to be the accusation if this outcome was given. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but I think
Brendan Rodgers was the first ever manager, right? If he was the first manager to break this rule and only get one game immediate, one game suspended, you would say he's been treated more leniently than all the rest and they've sat in the fence. But I've given you examples of other managers who've had this. So why is this one sitting in the fence?
I totally take that on board. I think if I think the reason I say sat in the middle, and I think they're quite right to do it, because I think that obviously Brendan Rodgers has put up probably a terrific case for himself through his lawyer. And
I think it'd be easy money for the lawyer. He's got previous cases. Just take them in. Sure.
No, but by the way,
how can I be treated differently?
No, but as an example, there would be other managers who have had a longer ban for it, I would assume.
But it's easier to argue if there's been similar. Like you say, if there's been none of that, and every other manager just got a 2 or 3 game ban, then
to be fair, it can't always be that simple. Because if that is the case, right now, then tonight we've decided that every manager that breaches this rule now gets a one game ban with one suspended.
You've got a good argument, though, haven't you? If Stuart Keltwell gets done, he's got a good argument.
Because funnily enough, that you mentioned him as an example.
Previous,
I think he got 3 games.
He got 3 games. I read that
a couple of years ago.
Look, it's individual cases, isn't it? So you've got to take it individually. And obviously the SFA have looked at that. As I say, I'm delighted because of the fact that there's no excuses now next week.
Davey thinks the SFA have bottled it. The previous caller said it was hypocrisy. We're up and running. Give us a call. We'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025, or you can tweet us as always at Clyde SSB. Lots of you, by the looks of it, trying to get in touch about Brendan Rodgers' disciplinary hearing today. One game immediate ban, the Livingston game, and another match suspended. So that would only kick in if there was a further breach. And you've put the dots together. If you're just joining us, he will not be banned for the game against Rangers. So there we are. Get your calls in 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Mackay Peter says, makes no difference sitting in the stand to the dugout. Crazy if people think otherwise. But then judging by some of the other tweets, people definitely think otherwise and think this was a very big deal. Is there a symbolism attached to it as much as anything, Mark?
Is it
drastically boosting or reducing Celtic's chances of winning that fixture?
Of course there's a symbolism attached to it. Having your manager, your leader there on the touchline, of course there is. But again, my argument would be, if it wasn't that important, if managers weren't that important, why would a whole host of them, or more than we ever see, not just choose to sit in the stand? Because their work's done Monday to Friday, I totally get that, and there's limited stuff they can do in the touchline. Because at that level, it's not like at my level where you're probably instructing a lot of the passes and the moves. At that level, the information is probably smaller, but it still makes a difference. Why would a lot of them not just sit in the stand then if it wasn't that important? Of course, they don't. Everyone in them, everyone in our league, everyone in the championship that I can think of just now, all on the touchline.
You knew a subject like this would bring out the ultimate cynicism, Gordon, because as an example, I was scanning through tweets and trying to pick out as we go. So there was one in the first couple of lines says, ha ha ha, did we expect anything less from the SFA? They truly nailed their colours to the mast this season. I'm surprised if anybody is shocked. But by that, I can't tell if that's a Rangers fan saying he should have got a longer ban, or if it's a Celtic fan saying I can't believe he was banned in the first place.
Yeah, well,
like that reaction would genuinely be put forward by both.
I think we all agree he was always going to be banned. He broke the rule, but it was how long that ban was going to be. And he's obviously individual case went up there. He's put up a good case. They've decided two game, one suspended. Happens to be the Rangers game. I agree with Mark. There's some players there that really need their manager on the touchline, because obviously that's part of it. And the figure, you know, the strong figure that Brendan Rodgers is, especially in a game, and it's going to be so, so important, Ibrox next week, then I think you're better with your manager on the touchline. Other players won't really bother.
Yeah. And David tweeted, all this talk of managers in the stand, the great Walter Smith used to choose to sit in the stand. He said it gave a better view of the game. His record of winning Old Firm games was great. If Rangers win, Celtic fans will blame the ref or VAR anyway. I take your point though. It's not like managers don't tend to sit in the stand all the time. And they, you know, they, it's about having the option rather than anything.
I even think even your top ones, you've just seen Pep Guardiola there. I mean, he's reinvented football a lot. He would reinvent just sitting in the stand every week if he didn't think it was that important.
Let's bring in Alan, who's on the line. How are you, Alan?
Hi, good evening, boys. How are we?
What's your take on it all, Alan?
Listen, my take on it is Celtic employed this DeMarco lawyer, the top, the Lionel Messi of lawyers. They should have just employed Peter Grant, because he made such a case on social media and in the newspapers that the conspiracy theorists would have been out if Brendan hadn't have made the bench for the Rangers game. In my opinion, it doesn't make an iota of difference. He's not on the park. Okay, he's in the dugout. But they've got telephone conversations from stand to the dugout. It's not the first time it's happened with managers. And I just think it's a lot of hoo-ha over nothing.
Do you know the only thing, look, I take on board that some people will think that, right? Mark's trying to explain it as, especially somebody that's maybe playing right back and he's at that side. And he
probably got a lot of feedback.
Yeah, you've got the manager in your ear. Do you know where the disadvantage for me would probably be is before you go onto the pitch, I think you need your manager in the dressing room.
Is all the preparation nowadays not done? And I don't know. I've never been lucky enough to be in a dressing room, but Brendan Rodgers strikes you as the more methodical type anyway. I could be wrong, but it doesn't strike you at 5-3 he's going to rant and rave and
what I think, and I've worked under Matt, okay, it was a longer time, Matt might have different opinions on this. I've worked under managers that will prepare Monday to Friday, they'll say nothing, and then round about just as you're leaving they'll say a couple of minutes, which is so important to you, and just drive you on. And that couple of minutes as you're walking down there to go out in the tunnel and onto the pitch are still with you. I still believe that figure as you're walking out that door and he's patting you in the back and wishing you, I think that's still important to me.
In terms of how much difference it makes then, right, we're talking personal opinion. Take Alan's point. We said earlier, the only reason this is anywhere near as big a story is because of the fixture that he might have missed and now won't. And then that's intensified again, let's be honest, because of how close they are in the league. We said, everything now has gone under the microscope even more, hasn't it? That must be a factor.
Oh, without doubt, it's purely because of this game. Because I think you're right in pointing out the Livingston game, where Brendan Rodgers won't be able to go in the change room, he won't be on the touchline. Look, the preparation will be done. I think you can get away with those sorts of game, and I mean that in the greatest respect to Livy, those sorts of game over a short period of time. So if Celtic had, you know, if they didn't have Rangers twice in the seven games, say they've not got Rangers at all, I don't think Brendan Rodgers would be comfortable just missing all of them, because there's moments in the game the manager has to react and make changes instantly that can alter the game, you know, right away. So, you know, it's important that he's there in the change room and on the touchline for games. But for the big ones, and that's purely what this is all about, the Rangers game, then I thought it was crucial that he got that one game suspended and it allowed him there.
See, touching on the before the game, Gordon, you're saying, well, the preparation's done. You always take into consideration, half-time's massive in these games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good shout, yeah.
You need your manager in there at halftime. If it's going well for you, you know, just to keep everything ticking on. I know that you can give that information nowadays, but that you're the leader, you're a manager, you're in that dressing room, you're not listening to a coach, you're not listening to assistant manager. If things are going bad for you, you'll need that spur, you'll need that kick up the backside to go out in the second half. So I think it is important.
If you're a man manager, a good man manager, like you hear loads of people, they're a good man manager, they let their coaches do the coaching. That's just right. Half time, you need somebody just to have that wee word in your ear. And you just react to see a Brendan Rodgers rather than John Kennedy and Gavin Strachan's a football department. Then, of course, that's when things like that make a huge difference. And maybe fans don't realise that because they think, oh, the players know what they're doing anyway. Football's a very fluid game. And, you know, it's built in confidence as well as skill and technique and tactics. That's why the figurehead's so important. That's why they're paid so much. That's why guys like Brendan Rodgers command a big contract, not just because of the tactical stuff, because of how they can impact the team with just being visible.
So, Alan, you're on the Rangers side of things. You don't think Rangers had a better chance of winning if Brendan Rodgers wasn't there, and you don't think that's altered today by the news that he will be there in any way?
No, I don't think so. Honestly, I really don't. I mean, there's 11 players on each side on the park. They know their job. Before they've gone to the park, they've been well tutored, they've been well coached. The manager's in the stand, and he can make a conversation with his second in charge if he would have been in the stand. And honestly, I don't think it makes an iota of difference. I know Gordon's saying, oh, they get the pat in the back before they go out. Surely, God, they're training all week for this, and they've been told their job, what they've got to do, and what's not to happen, and what has to happen. And honestly, I don't see an iota.
Ach, you're forgetting these two are spoon-fed, pampered footballers. That's what it is, Alan. The last in the real world, honestly.
The last thing you tell a player is the first thing he forgets.
Exactly. Imagine you remembering advice.
Listen, that's what they used to say. The last thing you tell a player is the first thing he forgets.
Celtic's response to this has been fairly short following the hearing. They just explain the story and then say that the manager appeared at the hearing today. His defence was presented robustly and thoroughly. Like many other clubs, continue to press for the highest standards in relation to VAR. The main sort of reactionary line: clearly we're disappointed with the outcome, although we accept the panel's decision. So maybe between now and 8 o'clock, as more calls come through, I'll get more of a feel on this, because I'm looking at, I went through the replies to that tweet that Celtic put out, and there was a lot of Celtic fans on there sort of saying, well, is that it? And I'm going back to a caller we had, was it last night or the night before? I think some Celtic fans on social media, and the guy that phoned in thought Celtic were going to sort of
pull a rabbit out of the hat,
burst through the doors at Hampden and really lay down a marker in terms of how annoyed they are at what went on that day.
But maybe I'm being
totally seduced by the one guy that phoned in. I just remember it, and he said, we're going to open a real can of worms here at this hearing.
It's hard to argue that, because, you know, the wording and the words that Brendan Rodgers used made it pretty simple for the SFA, and I made that argument almost impossible to go and open up a can of worms and blow the full thing apart. I think it's just a fair outcome, really. And I think, by the way, Brendan Rodgers will be sitting there pretty happy with how that's worked out as well. I think he would have known when he calmed down after the heat in the moment. I think he would have known that he was facing some sort of ban, but he'll be delighted that he'll be in the dugout for Ibrox.
Okay, thanks to Alan. Plenty more time to get your thoughts on it into us. If you call us right now, we'll try our best to get you on next.
Win £250,000.
And what a prize that is. £250,000. One person is guaranteed to win that entire prize when Tyler West makes the call. If it's you, it goes straight into your bank account within the hour. Just imagine it. Who wouldn't want the chance to win that amount of cash? If you enter now, we could be paying you £250,000. You have to text yes to 61025. Text for £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on the website, online entry £2, or call 0330 880 45. 623, with the calls charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition are online. The lines close at 3 p.m. next Friday, when Tyler West will make that call. There's no phrase, there's no amount to remember. You don't even have to pick up in five rings, so it's extra easy. Just answer the phone, and the £250,000 is yours this time. Quarter of a million. Text YES to 61025.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, your cheery Thursday duo. Going through a fairly non-cheery subject, it has to be said. We're talking about judicial protocol and incompetence and what lawyers' precedents have been presented and all the rest of it. But anyway, that's what we do sometimes in Scottish football. Let's go to Alec, who's in Alloa. How are you, Alec?
I'm good, guys. I hope you're all keeping well.
Yeah, all good. All good. What are you taking away from today, then?
Well, just a couple of points regarding the whole thing. In any other walk of life, regardless of what your job is, if you're incompetent at it, your boss is going to tell you to get your act together. And it'll be quite obvious you're incompetent because of the level of work you're carrying out. Now, that's no different on a football park. It shouldn't be a crime. I don't want anybody totally destroying referees and becoming a whole name-calling thing. But if a manager makes a serious point that he makes an incompetent call over a decision, I'm not quite sure why that can be viewed as a crime if the guy isn't doing the refereeing to the standard it should be. And secondly, if Rangers and Celtic go to the end of the season and that brought points at Hearts, cost Celtic £40 million in the Champions League, there'll be a far bigger outcry about it at the end of the season than there is now.
Do you think you can afford to look at it that way, Alec, when most of the Celtic fans, in fairness to them, who phoned us in the last couple of weeks, say Celtic got a penalty that day that they shouldn't have got? You know, and he scored that.
I totally agree with that. It's incompetence at both sides, either for or against the whatever team it is.
Totally, but I mean, then once you then extend that and say, you know, if that game costs Celtic the title, you know, there'll be massive repercussions. That's the bit that I wonder if. Look, every team can feel hard done by refereeing decisions, I'm certain of it. Everybody on this show agrees, Iwata's handball, ridiculous and so on. But I just wonder if you can sort of project a league title collapse and then pin it on that day, a day that you yourself say Celtic got a penalty they shouldn't have got.
That's correct. I'm not pinning everything on that day. The point I'm trying to make is if the guys are not carrying out their job properly, if they are doing incompetent work on the park, why is it such a crime to say that, regardless of who the team is or what the decision is?
Yeah, I think Alex's first analogy was a bit off because Brendan Rodgers isn't the referee's boss.
Yeah,
but notwithstanding that, is it that big a crime?
I think just the language. It's purely the language. I sympathise with managers, and I don't think referees should be a protected species. They're the only people in our game where, it seems to me anyway, that they're young players have to do interviews, manager have to do interviews, their livelihoods are on the line. Decisions made by the referee, yes, it's a very hard job, but so's a player, so's a manager. But they are protected away from the media. We don't get much explanations, if any, from them. And I feel sorry for when there's a game or a decision within a game that costs you and you feel hard done by and you have to tread carefully. But that's the bit that's done Brendan Rodgers, between treading carefully and getting his point across and saying how frustrated and angry he was at the decisions,
but ultimately,
to then saying incompetent.
But Alex's point is that you should be allowed to say that, basically.
Well, I think you did a column, actually, just the Sunday after, I think, or a couple of Sundays after, where he said if Brendan Rodgers had rephrased that and used different language, would he have got off with a technicality? He probably would have.
Yeah, and is that an issue?
Because,
I mean, I've always, the rule itself is very clear. That's why we all knew he would probably get a ban. But I personally have always found it a bit strange that the way bias and incompetence is just sort of lumped in that rule as if they're the same thing.
Yeah.
Because to me, being accused of bias would obviously
of
be
course,
a lot more serious.
Him, yeah.
And it's a lot, as we said there, you know, sometimes it can be a bit ambiguous, the language you use. This is easier because he says the word.
Yeah.
But bias and incompetence are lumped in there in the same word. They seem very different to me.
Well, yeah, but I just mean if Brendan Rodgers had, I'm struggling to think of the language
he could have said loads of things, and I think those decisions wrong. I thought we were really up against some decisions that I didn't agree with.
He didn't need to call out John Beaton. He could talk about officials.
But funnily enough, that's not what the charge is for. The charge is incompetence, but people kept latching on to that. That's not what the charge is for.
I do believe that managers, because see, at the end of the day, it's a manager's job, right? They depend on officials to get most things right. They're not going to get everything right. There's not an official in the world that gets every decision right. So I'm quite happy for managers to come out and say, look, I didn't think the officials today had the best game that they've ever had. There's a way of saying it, Gordon, and a way of going about it. Brendan Rodgers, surprisingly, is a very, very intelligent man and brilliant at it.
Surprising?
Yeah.
Well,
you're surprised that he's intelligent?
No. I mean the way he came out after the Hearts game.
Or you're surprised he said that word,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, that's what.
Let me ask you, Alec, as a Celtic fan, then, is this seen as a victory today because he is free to take the team against Rangers, or did you want more out of today?
I don't see it as a victory. I mean, the SFA, I've got to say, he obviously used a word that he wasn't supposed to use. If he had said that John Beaton's decision was disgraceful, whether they're incompetent, tell me, that's a play on words. This is a whole nonsense about one word. He never accused MD of bias, which is very serious. He's then saying that guy went out his way to be biased towards one team or other. So I totally agree, that's unacceptable. But to say that a guy makes an incompetent decision, and if you use the word incompetent, you get banned. If you use the word disgraceful or any other word, as long as it's not incompetent, that's it's a very, very fine line.
Yeah, to be fair, it's not only that. I mean, when I was looking back through some of these and trying to get a bit of background, I think one of the words that Craig Levein used when he got that charge that I referenced earlier was something about being abysmal. But then I think there was more of the, I think there was also the implication of bias. I think there was something about the tweet. Was it that, you know, managers often use that, we're up against 12 men, or you wouldn't have got that decision at the other.
You would have used that as a line. You would have used 100%
many a time. Even when they get a man sent off.
I take Alex's point, and it is, if he uses a word that's pretty similar, he doesn't get charged. But do you know what this reminds me of? Almost like the debates we'll have over red cards, where folks say, yeah, but the letter of the law, that's a red, but it's the law that's wrong. And that's kind of, and Alex, that's kind of sums up Alex's argument. Fine, I do get it, and for some people, but if you were a referee, you'd be saying, well, we do need something to just, you know, just, we can't really have us being called incompetent by managers and players. I guess
you've got to have rules somewhere along the line, Gordon. And
you see what Alec means, though. It's 100%. It's quite flexible.
Exactly. And I still believe, as much as I stick up for referees non-stop in this programme, I still believe that criticism should still come their way. But you've got to have rules. The SFA have got rules. It's rule, 72?
You've been studying that one, have you?
Yeah, it's broken by Brendan Rodgers. And I keep going back to, right, we've been on here and you can argue every way you want. I am delighted that Brendan Rodgers is only missing Livingston, because I keep going back to it. We've got the most exciting title rates for a long, long time. There'll be no excuses next week when they meet at Ibrox about who's in the stand. It's two terrific managers on the dugout going head-to-head to see who can go on and clinch this title for me.
And with a thanks to Alec, it's now time for two terrible quizzers to go head-to-head with you on this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
In actual fact, it'll only be one of them, whilst the other one sits there quietly. If you fancy it tonight, Beat the Pundit time, 0141 951 1025. The lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Okay, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. You've not chased them off. Is my mic working? That sounds a bit funny. I mean, more funny than usual. How's that? Okay, sorry. My apologies. Technical difficulty.
Like a bad way.
I don't know what
DJ.
I'm apologising for. It's not my fault. I'll throw anyone else under the bus. But anyway, keep your calls coming in. If you think there is still more mileage in this Brendan Rodgers disciplinary hearing stuff, we are here for you. If not, this could be the perfect opportunity. 7 o'clock, the Thursday night of international week ending, you could just flip it straight back to the title race and how your team is going to fare after the break. They're a very general open question for you. What are you expecting your team to come out of the break looking like? Any fan of any team can answer that. So keep the calls coming right now and we'll play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Do you know what I'm noticing a lot this week?
What?
Double acts. I think the people out there are getting intimidated by the intellectual prowess of the pundits in here.
Two nearly said that. Dumbarton.
Yeah, two current Dumbarton players phoned in.
Really?
Oh, no. Yeah, they get wiped.
Did you beat them?
No, Andy beat them. Andy wasn't even good.
Yeah, it was a poor show from Andy's own standards, but still won.
Right, okay.
4-3. And I think even Marvin won last night. It's not been great.
It's not good.
But I've been saying this week, David, the boss, he's been writing the questions. He's actually acting like, you know, getting his hands dirty, like doing jobs that he usually orders people about to do. Mm. He's been writing the questions.
Since in these palace now.
But listen, I've got no problem with authority. I had a real go at him. I said last night the questions were too long. I didn't get through many of them.
Oh, I know. Do you know I was out in the car?
Yeah, they go at David.
They were too long.
The first question was 30 seconds,
honestly,
right? I was out in the car, and for the first time I listened to Beat the Pundit with you, right? And I've noticed one thing about you.
What's taking you 7 years? What's the...
You give the opposition a lot longer.
I don't know how many times I need to explain to you.
At the end,
and everybody
at
else.
The end, don't start because you went, come on, and I'm thinking, right, he's 30 seconds.
That
are
only
up.
Happens.
Come on,
that only,
come on.
That's only ever going to happen if the question's asked in a certain way and they're like left hanging on the answer for the last one.
Nah,
it doesn't always
that
even
you
happen.
You nail
that
us
way.
Right away.
How would you know?
Because I listened last night.
But you don't listen on those nights to the opposition unless you're cheating with your headphones off.
You've done yourself now. Exactly. If you're up, he's definitely getting this guy.
I'll be watching.
Jack and Johnny. It's a double act. How's it going?
Jack and Johnny.
Double J.
Hi there.
How's it going, all right?
I don't know.
Neither of you played before?
No.
Good. I like that.
Why are you a double? Why can one of you no just step up to the mark? What is it about you two?
Well, basically, I had to tell him to phone. I had to phone him, persuade him to phone in.
He's the man.
Johnny's not the man. It's Jack.
Right. See, I do think that is quite often the case. I think there's a brains of the operation, and there's a mouth of the operation.
There's a dialogue.
Usually, right. Somebody's no brave.
What one are you?
But anyway, what we'll do is toss the coin. If it's heads, it will be Mark Wilson. If it's tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it is tails, Gordon, against Jack
the double
and
J.
Johnny. You
feel I don't.
Right?
Why don't we do a double act against them?
No, I know that is wrong.
Your win percentage.
A tag team, I think you call it.
59% your win rate.
I'm the only person that's winning that's gone down, mate. I've noticed that about this
59%.
Place.
59%.
I'm not taking that on board.
This guy's flying,
75%. Yeah. Pretty
never
strong.
Plays.
Strong finisher.
No, he's played.
Season.
He's played 16 times this season.
I'm nearly 200 caps.
Anyway, let's give Gordon some greatest hits radio and we'll get the clock ready. Jack and Johnny, whoever the spokesman is, just you take it away. Don't both shout out at me. My tiny brain can't handle that, okay?
No worries.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. What does the E stand for in UEFA? Name any team that's been promoted to League 2 since 2015.
Kelly Hearts.
Which side, after Celtic and Rangers, has won the most Scottish Cups?
Aberdeen.
How many countries will compete in the 2026 World Cup?
24.
Which Celtic player scored 32 goals in the 13-14 season? Okay, let's bring Gordon DL back. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Ready? Same set of questions.
I'll get a zero here.
Tough, aren't they?
I thought they were really hard.
So Boss David's questions are harder.
I can't imagine. Right, go.
Very much looking forward to one of these.
The first one will tell us everything.
Oh, yes.
I can't wait. No. Your 30 seconds starts now. What does the E stand for in UEFA?
Europe.
Name any side that's been promoted to League 2 since 2015.
Cove.
Which side after Celtic and Rangers has won the most Scottish Cups?
Aberdeen.
How many countries will compete at the 2026 World Cup?
32.
Which Celtic player scored 32 goals in the 13-14 season?
Griffiths.
And what nationality is former Rangers player Emerson Hindman?
Canadian.
Okay.
Or American.
Jack and Johnny, what do you think?
I think it's Clive.
I mean, it's tight in not a good way, I suspect. That was my like gut feeling.
Have I done they too?
I'm telling you, you'll have to.
Please let me know so I can give it to him. These two better run.
Is there more people, Jack and Johnny? Can I hear? Is there children in the background as well?
No, it's a childish laugh.
I think it's a frightened laugh, to be honest with you.
Are you confident?
Aye.
After your attempt at those questions?
I think I beat these two numpties, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Write that down. Record it. Clip this up on the live stream. I could be double bluffing you.
Yeah, you probably are.
Could be triple bluff. Anyway, what does the E stand for in UEFA? You're not getting Europe. Sorry.
European.
You said Europe.
You said Europe.
I'm not having that. I'm off.
Nope.
Nah, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry.
No. Because
if I get beat with that,
they said European.
I will never play
they
again.
They said European. Now,
two different words.
This is going to
shut
cause.
Shut your mouth.
This is good.
The venom he said that. I hope the camera caught your face out.
This is going to cause a bit of tension, right? Because the other night, Andy Halliday said Mexico rather than Mexican, and I gave him it, right?
Yeah.
But I'm genuinely standing by this, and I'm not saying it because it's you. When it's something like this, right? It's very important. It's UEFA. Do you know what I mean?
There's you have to go with what's on the sheet.
There's no ambiguity about what the word is.
It's
Union of European Football Associations.
You know what?
If I change that word to Europe, it now makes sense.
Hold on. What's the number of that DeMarco?
If Brendan Rodgers,
what is the number of that DeMarco?
You got DeMarco, the sports
lawyer. Where is that DeMarco when you need him?
I'm with you, Gordon.
Ah, catch
it's a full word.
Mexico, Mexican.
No,
everything.
This
you
changes
gave it to
the full meaning.
Right,
it changes the full meaning of UEFA.
Go on. If these two beat me,
Mark Wilson.
I'm with you, Gordon. You know I'm in your corner a lot.
Please shut up.
Don't be annoyed at me.
1-0 to Jack and Johnny. Name any side that's been promoted to League 2 since 2015. You both got it. Cove Rangers, Kelty Hearts, Bonnyrigg, Spartans, Edinburgh City. 2-1 to the gentleman.
Double J.
Which side after Celtic and Rangers have won the most Scottish Cups? Both went Aberdeen. You would think you don't know your history.
Queen's Park.
I know.
Yeah, 10 titles. So still 2-1. How many countries will compete at the 2026 World Cup? 48.
How was
the miles off?
Did Double J get that?
No, they did not. I told you David's questions, but I'm going to have another pop at him.
You're struggling here.
He said on my question sheet, which Celtic striker? But I took that out. I just said which Celtic player scored 32 goals in the 13-14 season. It was Chris Commons. You both went Griffiths, which means you need this
show.
You need the last one to equalise.
What was the question?
They didn't get that far.
He was either American or Canadian.
What
this
nationality
boy? Is he American?
His former Rangers player Emerson Hindman.
He's American.
You said Canadian. Or is he American? Obviously we accept your first answer, which is Canadian. He's American.
Oh, USA.
And Jack,
I'm telling you now,
Johnny,
I'm not accepting that.
You have to.
I'm not accepting the first one. That's a disgrace. What are you two laughing at? I'll tell you what, if I come down there and get used to, you'll be in trouble.
No, honestly.
Oh, they're laughing at you.
Like, put your bias to one side. Think about this logically, right?
You gave the wicket the other night.
I always say
You can't go
against
me.
You have to treat
me.
These things on an individual basis, right? We cannot say that UEFA stands for the Union of Europe Football Associations.
Look, I was trying to get through the questions quick. You knew exactly what I meant. I can't believe I went for Canada.
UEFA then doesn't make sense if I allow you.
Nah, I'm not having that. Neither does Mexican and Mexico.
The question the other night was, what nationality is someone? And Andy said Mexico. I'm happy with that.
No, you can't. He's not a Mexico. here's a wee Mexico coming in the room. No. You're a Mexican. No, I'm a Mexico.
I'm sorry.
I'm not having that. I'm telling you now. I'm standing my ground here.
Every case will be treated on its own merits.
That is absolutely disgraceful.
So you think UEFA?
You're picking on me.
You think
the
UEFA,
people out there know it.
Oh. I know it. Mark knows it.
I don't know anything.
Mark's siding with me.
Yeah, no, he's not.
We cannot have UEFA standing for Union of Europe Football Associations. We just
you knew exactly what I said.
Jackie,
you didn't
Johnny,
hear the peen.
Well
peen?
Done. Half a ball
you
each.
You never heard the peen?
Half a ball each on its way to Mulgay.
I'm on my way to Mulgay.
Thanks very
better
much.
Better not
guys.
Find you two laughing all, in a car somewhere.
All the best.
They're away for a happy meal, they two, in the drive
through. There we go. Another defeat. I don't know what the win percentage is down to now.
You're like a stone, aren't you?
I'm not
accepting that. You know what? The punters are even laughing at them now. I thought I had that.
Oh, why did I know just go American? I knew it.
There is that as well.
By the way, I'll tell you what, they question. How many questions did you get through there?
Again, I know I didn't get. I didn't think I read them that slowly. I was trying.
You didn't read them that slowly. Many questions, four.
But again, I felt like they were long. That one about name any side that's been promoted to League 2 since 2015. They're long questions.
Oh, I should have went for Covens because he won player of the year that year, didn't he?
Yeah, I knew that.
I'm switched off. CMD comes on here and talks to me.
Is that different from any other night?
Go on a strike for the next 45 minutes.
Go and run.
See how little you can say.
I've had enough of a lot of these. No, I haven't.
There is no
I'm
way
cheated.
You can think that we can let Europe pass there.
Well, can you let a Mexico become a Mexican?
I've told you.
Can you?
I'm not interested in comparing apples and oranges.
I'm very much interested. You're either got to
Matthew says he's actually surprised that you knew Europe started with an E.
So am I, to be fair. I'm delighted to get that.
So
you for Europe.
Again, forget Andy Halliday. We cannot have Europe in that context.
Nah, you done me.
No chance. You didn't even know Emerson Hyman was American.
I did know he was American. I just went too quick.
You got a lot wrong within that performance. That's like a manager saying the referee caution when you've missed a
don't
couple
start.
Of penalties.
Now I'm getting tweets, right? Nobody's backing you on that. Chris, this just shows you selective listening. Please tell me I've got this right, Mark.
Yes.
You're the adjudicator.
Okay.
He says, you've done DL there. He said American first, not Canadian.
I did.
No
I did.
Way.
No, I forgot about that.
Wait, it was play Canadian
back.
First.
Play it back. Canadian. I'm sure I did say American.
I thought you said Canadian.
You said Canadian
I said
first.
American, Canadian, Canadian.
You are a pathological liar. That is the problem.
No. I think I'm with
Chris.
It's
believable.
I think I did. Because it was in my head that it was American.
He's got a way of making you believe him.
And then for some
you
reason.
Under a spell.
I said Canadian.
When you lie. You,
but I've been done, mate.
Gordon once told me, Ren, I won't offer you the context. You can use your own imagination. Genuinely, I remember him saying to me that his number one tactic in life is deny, deny, deny. And this is what's happening here. This is exactly what's happening here.
When somebody come home early, I went, have you seen Gordon?
He says, go on the attack. That's what he told me
once. I'm not on the attack. I feel robbed tonight. I feel
that's
cheated.
That's very much you in a nutshell.
I'll never get home, got a shower. I feel
9 years
been,
or something I've known you. That's your number one tactic.
Speaking of which, right, do you remember you were... You were starstruck, doesn't even cover it, when you saw someone from Two Doors Down in here last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it Kieran Hodgson? Kieran,
yeah, go ahead.
Tomorrow night, what are you doing? What are you up to?
Nothing. Why is he?
He's at the King's Theatre tomorrow night. A one man show.
Oh.
I think you should. I noticed it earlier. I thought of you straight away.
Is he giving me tickets?
Oh, you have to pay. You're a fan. You'll just have to pay
you'll
like
pay.
Everybody else.
Be a hand in your pocket for Kieran, won't you? Yeah, you can shout Gordon to the front row.
I bet he's got here he comes.
Oh, imagine he saw you. Be like, oh,
boy,
but no,
I get the wave that he gave me.
Why have you not posted that picture?
Because it's not very good.
I'm waiting for you to post it so I can slaughter you.
It's a private picture between me and the man.
So, what do you do with your private pictures?
I keep them private. That's
frame them, get them printed off and frame them.
Shut up. Listen, you talk to Gordon, your pal.
Europe is not.
You're finished.
Europe's
with me.
Not happening. I'm sorry.
Is Mexico and Mexican happening? I don't know.
Very different.
No, it's not. It's the same thing, isn't it?
No, it genuinely isn't.
See, if you'd asked me a question and I'd have went, what nationality is Mexico? You would not have given me that.
Do you want the honest answer to that?
Right.
Honestly?
Yeah.
I would, and I'll admit this, hands up. I would be more tempted to take it off you. But let me finish.
That sums up.
I know you don't let. People finish.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't in the end. I would be tempted and then I would say, do you know what? I'm giving you that. I'm not giving you Europe for being in UEFA. It's an entirely different.
You missed.
This very much resembles a conversation we just have in the office.
It's just nonsense.
Instead of out in radio. So if anybody wants to know what the conversations are like when we're sitting on the couch.
No, they're a bit different.
A wee bit different.
My tooth sort of fell down it when I went, you're up, right?
What have we descended to? James is in Kilsyth. James, please, let's talk football or whatever you want, quite frankly.
Hi, okay, Gordon. Thank you very much. Good evening, Gordon and Mark.
Hello.
It's about the rule that states that, you know, you're not allowed to imply anything which suggests any bias or incompetence.
Mm-hmm.
And Brendan Rodgers actually used the word, so therefore he's guilty of breaking the rule. That's fine. But there are other managers that have come out and said things where incompetence or bias is implied, but the words just haven't been used. For example, the other week there, when Philip Clement came out after the St Johnson game, and he said, they asked him a comment, and he said, get kicked off the park. Well, surely that's saying that the referee hasn't been doing his job, because if he'd been doing his job, they wouldn't get kicked off the park. That St Johnson players wouldn't be put off, he'd have done something about it, and they wouldn't be getting kicked off the park. But that's incompetence by implication, and not actually using the word. So why wasn't he pulled up for that?
Is that comparable for you?
Not for me. I'm sorry, James, I don't think that is comparable. But if you gave me, you know, another argument that resembles similar, then okay, you've got a point. But I don't think him saying get kicked off the park is a go at the referee. I think, if anything, it's a go at the opposition and their tactics and how they went about the game on that day rather than the referee.
It's definitely a bit more vague, isn't it, James? I know what you're saying, because it's like, where do you draw the line? Basically, any time you criticise decisions, are you inferring incompetence? But there's a few more dots to be joined with that example you've given, isn't there?
No, the word implication is used in the rule, right? Implication. So that means you don't have to actually say the word. You don't have to make the accusation.
No, I get all that, but is this anywhere near a strong enough implication, is what Mark's asking you?
It's still implied, yeah. Of course it is.
Is it not a criticism of St Johnston?
Well, it's a criticism. Who's letting him do it? Who's in charge? Who's in charge on the park? Who's in charge on the park?
Well, but now we're going to get really pedantic. Well, I could still kick Mark off the park and then the referee has to act after that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You can kick him once and then send it off.
And then another player could do it.
Right.
I think it'd be different if he followed it up where they get kicked off the park and the referee, you know, didn't act on it, or the referee turned a blind eye to it and it was clear to see the referee didn't want to give decisions. I think then you've got a different sort of argument, but it seems to get kicked off the park. You know, how's that go at the referee?
Is that the same for you? Is it comparable?
No, I agree with Mark. I think we'll find that over the next couple of days we'll hear all these cases that another manager said X,
There's
Y,
bound
Z.
To be something soon that resembles
Of course,
there?
I think there will be. But I totally take Mark's side in this, and the fact that Clement's having a dig. And I know that James is saying, well, the referee's in control of the game, but I don't think he's come out and heavily criticised the referee personally. I think he's had a little dig at the opposition, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, but to be fair to James, this came up earlier. I do wonder about the ambiguity of that. As a occupational hazard, I've sat in so many press conferences, interviews, listened back to so many, and you get a little sense goes when you think this rule's been breached, but it's mostly the bias bit. You know, when you hear a manager say these phrases that you always hear, we were up against 12 men, or that decision wouldn't be given at the other end, things like that, you always go, oh, I don't know. Mm. I don't know if you'll get away with that. And James, to be fair, acknowledges you certainly won't get away with saying there was incompetence.
Yeah.
But it is, I can imagine there are certain examples. I'm not sure James has picked a great one, but there are definitely going to be examples that you wonder how close they come.
Yeah, and then it's how, I suppose, you present your case to fight against it, or if you're hauled up for certain comments. So these are very difficult things to judge. As Brendan Rodgers' one was clear cut because the word was used, so I think it was pretty simple.
Yeah, James acknowledged that, to be fair.
Yeah, and you know, managers will and try their best to tread carefully. Sometimes they will stray beyond the pale, but then it's up to the SFA what they deem inappropriate and breaching the law and what they don't. So James, we can't sit here and say what's right and what's wrong. It's up to the SFA, of course.
James,
to judge it.
In isolation, are you, I was going to say, happy with this? I don't know if that's the right word. You know,
no, well,
take it on the chin, or?
Yeah, you talked about you'd be able to kick Mark Wilson off the park and then do it again. Right, but how many St Johnstone players get sent off that night?
James, we're going to just need to agree to disagree. You keep hammering this, and I agree with the core of your point. Honestly, I do, and I know you maybe don't believe that. I totally agree with the core of your point. There are going to be phrases used and words used that you think, oh, maybe that's inferring incompetence. But saying we get kicked off the park, it isn't one of them, James. It's not for me. It isn't for Mark. So we'll agree to disagree, but I do agree with the core of your point. I promise you I do, and there will be examples, I'm certain of it, between now and the end of the season. Good time to join James if you fancy it. 01419511025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel is still in the huff over his Beat the Pundit defeat. Mark Wilson is here, and they're both waiting for you to get involved on the phones. 01419511025. Give us a call and let us know what is on your mind. It's been wall to wall pretty much Brendan Rodgers ban discussion, which is fine. If that's what you want to discuss, that's what you want to discuss. But it might be a good time to move it on just now and talk about the games this weekend, or how your team is going to look after the break. Everybody hopes them all come out flying. What do you think? What do you think your team will look like coming out of the winter break? Aberdeen fans, looks like we're going to come out of it. Winter break, international break. Thanks for correcting me, you two, as you daydream. The international break. Aberdeen fans, are you surprised, disappointed that there's no manager by the looks of it coming out of the international break? Stuart Kettlewell was doing his media stuff today. And if you've got any final thoughts then on Scotland, you could do that right now. We'll hear from Shea Adams. We could wrap it all up. You could be the person to wrap it all up from a Scotland perspective and move on. 01419511025. Let me give you this first though.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride. Call now to score a free no-obligation quote.
So we're not fully leaving international football behind, because it's a bit of a theme on the teaser. Stephen McCarra sent it in. Ooh. You two will never handle this.
No.
Nah, just not smart enough. Excluding current players in the squad, can you name the 8 ex-Old Firm players who've scored exactly one goal for Scotland, but their final cap had to come this century? So you're not going like too far back. So excluding current players in the squad, can you name the 8 ex-Old Firm players to score exactly one goal for Scotland when their final cap came this century?
Does Stuart Finlay count?
No.
He was at Celtic.
Did any first team appearances?
Yeah.
Obviously not.
One goal.
Kirk Broadfoot.
Oh, do you know him? No, he must have more. I remember he scored against Iceland, I think, didn't he? Maybe he's got more than that. Why?
Beattie scored more than one. Beattie scored more than one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Craig Beattie. They're not on the list, I have to say.
Yeah.
Hold on now, what am I missing? What am I missing? Because Kirk Broadfoot did only get one.
Oh, did David write the questions as well?
Stephen McCarra's decent. What am I missing? Excluding current players in the squad, can you name the 8 ex-Old Firm who've got one? I think Kirk Broadfoot has to count there.
We busted it in the first
already
guess.
That's not great, is it?
Now we're calling into doubt every other answer.
Is he excluding friendlies or something like that?
Well, say excluding.
I don't know. Oh no, why you
goals with his right foot.
Do you want to try another question here?
No, I can't. I don't have another one.
These questions tonight.
No, get another 7. And by the way, I'd be 9 then, wouldn't it? Broadfoot.
Just add them on, see what happens. Let's just go with it.
Okay, great. Right, over to you. I've had a good few guesses.
I'm struggling big time.
Struggling, are you?
Played with Rangers or Celtic. Brophy or no, he's out.
Dorans.
Nope. I don't like that noise.
Think centre halves, think defenders.
Your man Played with Hearts and Rangers.
Oh, Webster.
Yes, well done, Andy Webster.
Webster.
What a bizarre place to start. With no offence to Andy Webster, if
to be
listening.
Fair, it wasn't him I was thinking about. It was the midfield player.
Caldwell scored more than one goal.
He's not on it.
Who's the wee guy that played in the middle of the park?
Oh, the wee man.
Oh aye, the wee
Hearts and Rangers.
Emerson Hineman.
No.
Who?
Hearts and Rangers.
Ian Black.
No. Well, I thought Webster right. myself.
There are a few on there who I get your logic. It's not totally off to think about defenders and stuff, but bear in mind, scoring multiple goals for your country might not come easy. There are a couple on there that you will think have scored more than once for Scotland.
Oh,
but
right,
they haven't.
Okay.
Okay. If that helps you in any way.
No.
Like, there's one here that I can think of. He's got 18 caps. You know, was part of quite a good side. Was played kind of a lot of positions, but in an attacking sense. But only one goal.
Common score more than one.
He's not on there.
Not on there.
Okay. We will leave it there for now. Right, what are you expecting then? Take some teams, pick whoever you want. Mark, you go Celtic. Gordon, you start Rangers. What are you expecting when we return this weekend from them?
I think Rangers will have a difficult game at Ibrox against Hibs. But I think the importance of it and the way Rangers are just now, and if you look at Hibs, they have improved. Of course they have. Middle at the front, I think the change of formation certainly helped them. But I think their Achilles heel is certainly still their defence. And away at Ibrox on Saturday, I think Rangers will have enough with the amount of possession that they'll have, the backing of the crowd, everything that's going there. Because we're now, as you say, points are so, so important. With Celtic playing this Sunday, you have got to keep the pressure on Celtic. You've got to pick up 3 points, sit back and then say, right, over to you. Let's see what you're going to do, because the following week becomes so, so important. So I do think that it might not be pretty, Gordon, and I don't think we're at the stage where you're turning up to watch pretty football if you're Rangers and Celtic. If it's added, it's a great bonus. I think the most important thing now is 3 points and put the pressure on the opposition.
Yeah, and the pressure will go on Celtic if Rangers do that, which I believe they will, because I just think Hibs are too open to play against to go to Ibrox and get anything. For Celtic, look, it's about result that matters. I don't think we've seen many teams go to the Tony Macaroni and come away with a result and an outstanding performance. And you go, wow, that was great. That was free-flowing football. So I think Celtic fans, maybe just get that out of your head, that that's what you're going to witness on Sunday. Don't expect that. But they expect an energy and to be relentless against a Livy side who have been abysmal this season. There's no doubt about it, home and away. Used to be seasons before, Daz touched on it earlier, that if you went there, you knew you were in for a game and you'd probably take a 1-0. That's not been the case this year for Livy. Give up far too many chances at home this season, and they've been punished, and rightly so. So with that in mind, Celtic, with the players that they've got, should go there right in the front foot, and if they get a couple of early goals, then it could be an easy afternoon. But we've seen it before, if they don't get that goal before half time, it turns into a bit of a struggle and a bit of a slog for Celtic. They have to roll up their sleeves. Result is what counts at this stage, not performance.
Andy is on the line. Andy, what are you expecting from your team out of this break?
Aye, bro. Aye, how you doing, boys? Aye. Aye, I'm looking forward to Saturday, really. I'm just asking the producer. I don't know how many players, I've not known Ryan Jack or Seymour Stirling is going to be in the squad, but because we've missed him, you know what I mean? When the big two starts here, and for me, this is the time for Dessers. He's got to just show his worth. No excuses for what, 7, maybe 9 games if we get to the final. So I'm looking forward to it. And I think if we get these players back, we'll get a really good chance of winning the league.
Yeah, I always wonder what impact the international break has. The most obvious one is like injury. Do you come back fit or not? Yilmaz, there's a question mark over. If you've played, did it go well? Are you more confident now? Did it go badly? You know, you're suffering a bit. Dessers is a good example.
Did he score the international break? I think he did. Am I correct?
He scored a penalty, and then I saw someone else clipped up some sort of sitter that he missed in the next game, ballooned over the bar. So,
but he still gets a goal, he comes back. I do agree with Andy. I think that it's up to not just Dessers, he just can't point the finger at him. I think the full team have got to step up. Obviously disappointed with their result against Motherwell at Fir Park. They can't allow that to happen again, especially with the importance of the game that's coming up next week. And Hibs are, they have improved. Middle to front, they've got some dangerous players that if you're not on your game, they can punish you. But I think Rangers will have enough. I think Sterling's back. I think Roof's starting to get that fitness again. I'd see him come probably on the bench. He could play a big part coming off the bench if the lad can keep himself fit. Big question mark. Yilmaz, if he misses, will he play Barisic at left back? Because obviously Barisic has no future at Rangers. You wonder if Sterling would get into that position.
He'll
I like
just
him.
Play the left back you've got, surely, no. I know, I take your point. It's not ideal, but.
Yeah, well, I would, but you just wonder how the manager sees that, because I prefer Sterling for some reason. I know he turned up at Rangers as a defender. I like him in the middle of the park. I think he gives great energy, everything about him. I think he's a big player for Rangers. I think everybody's got to step up, Gordon. It's got to be a difficult game, but it's a game that I think Rangers will handle. I think they'll win it, and I think they'll put pressure on Celtic. But I've got to say, the days of going to Livingston in this hashtag that's got to be a difficult fixture to go to, I can't see that. I think
it's the longest hashtag of all time.
I think Celtic will have more than enough in the tank.
Ultimately, Andy, do Rangers come out of this break and go on and win the title? What's your expectation?
I definitely think we could go, especially if Luke, come on. I really do. I think we've got the squad's getting back together now. The one player that I like him, but Tom Lawrence, but I don't know if he's fully fit, because he against Benfica, he was brilliant for like maybe 50 minutes, and then all of a sudden he just seemed to fall right out of the game. A player like that, you want to see him playing, you know, for 75, 80 minutes, the way he can play when he starts off games like that, because he's a brilliant player.
How much is availability going to come into it, Mark? They've both had injuries in recent times. I think Rangers seems like it's been a more prolonged, longer list. I don't know. But then Celtic's men, you could argue, have been like the real key ones, or the tried and tested in Hitati and Carter Vickers. I'll leave people to bicker amongst themselves about what's worse. And that's not really the point I'm trying to make. Just about who has who available and how vital that can be when you get to the running.
Well, of course, it is going to be massive. And probably hear the other fans laughing just now and say, oh, they've got massive squads and should be able to deal with any sort of injuries. But it's not really the case. You sign players and good players at that to play in your team and impact at the real business end of the season. So, you know, for Celtic, guys like Kitati, who played 45 minutes the other week, you can get him resembling something what he can give you, then, of course, that will have a better impact on your side. Similarly with Rangers, if you get a Sima back who was flying and you can get him close to full fitness, then he's going to add a number of goals between now and the end of the season. So that's going to be crucial. And just not picking up any other injuries. You know, it's a Celtic with Carter Vickers as well. How do you manage him? Again, Daz made the point. Do you play him on Sunday on an artificial pitch with the problems that he's got, knowing fine well what you're going into the following week? I'm not sure you do. So again, it's about managing your injuries, managing the load that's on the players who are coming back, and trying to piece it all together to make the most successful running. That's going to be the difficult thing for Clement and Rodgers.
Thank you very much to Andy. Any more on this teaser then, excluding current players in the squad? Can you name the, we think, 9 ex-Old Firm players to score exactly once for Scotland? Their final cap had to come this century. You've got Kirk Broadfoot and Andy Webster.
Go for it.
Chris Burke won.
Not Chris.
Ollie Burke. Ollie Burke, of course. Yep. We had him.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Hartley, Paul Hartley.
Yes.
Good. Barry Robson.
No.
Oh, no. Lee McCulloch.
Yes, that's the one I was alluding to. You maybe thought he would have scored more than once.
Okay. Not Christian Daly, no?
No.
Stephen Whittaker?
No. Right, we'll get the rest of the answers. And I have to say, you're still getting on Twitter, there are a few. Goggs is on.
Goggs.
Who's the other one? Chris. All saying that they think you said American first and not Canadian. We'll do the Stewards Inquiry next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. How are you doing on this teaser then? We've got the excluding current players in the squad. Can you name nine ex-Old Firm players to score exactly once for Scotland? Their final cap came this century. So Kirk Broadfoot, Andy Webster, Lee McCulloch, Paul Hartley, Ollie Burke.
Go on then, go on.
David Weir.
Yes.
Paul Lambert.
Yes.
Any more?
What's that, two to get?
Three.
Is it?
Three. No, because Broadfoot got added. No.
Still two, I think.
Is there?
Yeah, yeah.
Very difficult, I take it.
So. Yeah, I have to say, I've been getting inundated, as I said before the break, on Twitter, because people think you were robbed on Beat the Pundit, because we always say we have to accept your first answer.
And was it America?
I asked you if Emerson Hyneman, what nationality was he? I thought you said Canadian and then American, which would be incorrect because you said Canadian first. Lots of people are tweeting to say that's wrong.
Yeah, and you know it's, I said Canadian.
I've not heard it back.
Because you've got to play it.
I've not heard it. How could I have heard it? I'm sitting with you.
Because you've got to play it in a minute, haven't you?
Of course I am, but I've not heard it, obviously.
Nah, you've heard it already.
I hope you're wrong.
Shh. Let's hear it. And what nationality is former Rangers player Emerson Hyneman?
Canadian?
Okay.
Or American?
Jack and John. Thank you very much. Do you hear that? Yes. Gogs on Twitter.
Have that,
and
Gogs.
Chris. Come on, Chris and Gogs. Where are we now? Making up things that you heard. Behave yourselves.
Never mind Chris and Gogs. What about him? Just flat out lying to us.
He is a liar. That's the difference.
I thought we were friends.
You're not a friend of mine, mate. I've got to say, I'm not really bored about that, because I knew right away it was American, but I don't know why I came out with Canadian.
Sorry.
It's the Europe one that will stick in my mind for a long, long time.
Sorry, it's just not happening. It really isn't. But anyway, right, as we head towards the return of the domestic game in the top flight, are you surprised we are probably, is it definitely? Some people would say definitely going to head into that without a new Aberdeen manager.
Yes and no. And the reason I'll say no is I think once again they bought themselves some time before international break with a good result at Fir Park. I actually thought when Neil Warnock walked out the building, I've got to give Hugh Keevans a lot of credit for it, because I was on to Hugh. I thought that Aberdeen would have had a manager within 3-4 days.
Well, he said they would, though. I'm hard on you, though, but I wouldn't blame yourself if Neil Warnock said they're well down the line and Aberdeen then issued a statement.
Yeah,
I don't think you were wrong to think that it was imminent.
But we're now, when's Warnock left the building? But 3-4 weeks ago.
3 weeks this weekend.
Three weeks and they're still, and it's once again, surely. My thing is, even before Neil Warnock come into the building, the reason that he come in was just to steady the ship until we get a new manager. That operation's already started. Neil Warnock then leaves. We're 3 weeks down again and they've still not got a manager, and I can understand them shouting, going, we have to make the right decision. Of course they do, because they've made a lot of bad ones under the new regime, to be honest with you. But I am baffled that they've not got a manager in the international break.
Mark, what's your take on it?
Listen, I agree. It just goes to show you where the club is at this minute. The communication at times has been farcical. The whole Neil Warnock experiment was a bit of a joke, and I'm pretty sure the Aberdeen fans thought that as well. Look, even when you go back, since Dave Cormack came to the club, you know, remember when Jim Goodwin was sacked? The post-match press conference with the tears in the eyes, and it's just turned into a bit of a joke and a bit of a pantomime, the club. Now, the Neil Warnock, you know, they're far down the line, and I was the one that told them they're better, you know, go and get a new manager. You know, that stuff like that doesn't need to be said. But then to follow up from the club saying that we're hoping to have this manager in place.
In fairness, look, some of that has been explained. Alan Burrows spoke to Red TV today. You know, we're talking about communication. It was pretty clear. It might not have been what people wanted to hear, but he said that the search is ongoing. Like to think it's entering the final stages. That they had hoped to make an appointment during the break, but it looks unlikely. You know, sometimes things happen that you don't expect, and you need to react because some people are in jobs and some aren't. Some are abroad, some aren't, and you have to be patient if you believe it's the right guy. When it comes down to that last line, is that Is that the key above all else?
Of course, you have to get the right guy. They had to get the right guy the last time and the time before that, and they've not done it. So, of course, it's crucial. But what does that tell you about the appointment? It tells you that, you know, guys like Neil Lennon and guys who are not in a job, they're off the cards. It's got to be somebody that's in a job. Then we looked at Michael and Neil. Was it going to be him, and was he managing these games just to get him out the way and he was going to take over? I suppose he's out the way now, because if that was going to be the appointment, then Alan Burrows wouldn't be coming out and saying that. So it's someone, in my opinion anyway, it's someone that's in a club job, or they've offered it to a few people and they've knocked it back.
Or an international job.
Well, perhaps.
The thing that worries me is...
But there's very little to play for international jobs, unless it's somebody that's gone to the Euros, is there? It's only friendlies from now till...
The only reason I mean it is because obviously people keep saying Michael O'Neill.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure. What would he be waiting on? He would maybe take that just now then. Get those games against Scotland and the other friendly.
Yeah, but that was like 2 days ago. So, yeah. As an example.
The worry for me, if I was an Aberdeen fan, is, right, Barry Robson left the building a long time ago. They're 3 points off relegation playoff, Gordon. Now, I'm probably sitting here and I'll say, I think they're too good to go down. But how many times have we said that about other teams, and all of a sudden they put themselves right in trouble? I think they're sleeping a little bit. I think they should have had a manager in by now. It's not like they've not had plenty of time.
They're obviously still close. I can't argue with your three points, but the win, you wonder if they win at Fir Park, that made a big difference already.
Probably.
No? Is it
probably
just like one more win?
Yeah. Well, what do you mean, to keep them safe?
Just depending on the way other results go, and can you see other teams all...
Well, this weekend
is
crucial.
Well, they're cup finals this weekend, then. Yeah.
And that's why I think the argument is, everyone thought there would be a new manager. I know Peter Leaven's done a decent enough job, but there would be a new manager to steer them through this. And remember, managers have got to want to come to the club as well. Aberdeen are now in a position where Neil Warnock's went, Barry Robson's went, Jim Goodwin's went, Stephen Glass has went, and Derek McInnes, all under Dave Cormack. Now, if you're trying to attract an up-and-coming manager or an experienced one at another club, you know, on these shores or abroad, they've got to look at the club as well. It's not just easy and, oh, Aberdeen's a great club with a great history, come and join us. You've got to sell the club, and it's got to be right for a coach. Maybe some coaches is looking at that structure and thinking, I'm going to give up whatever I'm managing to go and last not even a year. I don't think so. And maybe that's the position they find themselves in now, that they thought it would be an easy sell. And it's turning it to be anything but an easy sell for some of those, I'm not saying top managers, but in that bracket you would hope to lure to your club.
Well, there you are. That's it. That's pretty much you done. Tomorrow is when it will really start feeling real, because you'll tune in here, hear from most of the managers. Brendan Rodgers will speak tomorrow. Philippe Clement will speak tomorrow. Lots of others, as we really get back. And I've told you, we're declaring it. It's the official. I've heard it banded around in the last few weeks before the break, and I wasn't having any of it. It's the business end of the season. It starts this weekend, and we cannot wait. You've got two more to get on this teaser, excluding the current Scotland squad. Nine ex-Old Firm players have scored exactly once for Scotland, and their final cap came this century. Oliver Burke, Paul Hartley, Paul Lambert, Lee McCulloch, Andy Webster, Davy Weir, Kirk Broadfoot. Matthew has one of... No, Matthew's got one of the ones you're looking for. His final cap came just this century.
Who did he play for?
And what if I told you that apart from the one goal he scored, he does have an own goal to his name?
Tom Boyd.
That doesn't count. Yes, Tom Boyd.
Famous own goal, eh? Against who?
What possession?
You seriously don't know who Tom Boyd's own goal was against? No. Seriously?
That's what I'm dealing with. Yeah. This is my partner.
Who was it again?
Brazil!
Opening game of the World Cup.
Oh, sure.
98, that was a good old days for you. You weren't even watching the World Cup in those days.
Okay.
One more to go.
Yep.
One who game did play for?
Scotland.
No.
Rangers.
Rangers.
Hearts, Kilmarnock.
Hearts, Kilmarnock?
Hearts and Kilmarnock, that would be...
I think his goal was in one of those like Hong Kong trips or something like that.
Ugh.
Hearts, Kilmarnock, Rangers, Sunderland. Come on, you got to get off that. Oh, come on.
Hearts, Kilmarnock, Rangers and Sunderland.
Air United at the end of his career. Oh, no.
Kevin Kyle. Yes, Kevin Kyle.
I was going to say Kevin Kyle.
Right, thank you, Mark and Gordon. We are back tomorrow from 6 o'clock, and Callum is up next. Thanks for listening.